This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Next on the program today, we're talking about business and politics. One of the former titans of finance in Illinois went all in, his words, all in, backing a candidate for the Republican nomination for Illinois governor, but he was decisively rejected by party voters in favor of State Senator Darren Bailey. So what does this mean going forward? And what about those major corporations that are moving their headquarters out of Illinois? How worried should we be about that? Joining us to talk about all this and more is Greg Hines, political columnist at Crane's Chicago Business. Greg, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. And listeners, if you want to join us, 800-222-9455 is the number to call. If you have a question about business and politics in Illinois and the intersection thereof, or you just have a comment, 800-222-9455 again is the number, 800-222-9455, or tweet us at 21st Show. So, Greg, let's start with the primary election. It's been a couple of weeks since that happened, and obviously there's been a lot of news since then. But how is the business community reacting to the outcome, particularly of the Republican primary?
Brian, I think they're still deep in their shell. They're scared to death. This is not your father's Republican Party, much less your grandfather's Republican Party. I don't think Jim Edgar, who was kind of the quintessential pro-business mainstream Republican, would do very well in today's environment. The lines of who's a Republican in Illinois and who's a Democrat have changed. That has left business in this election with a Hobson's choice between a governor who has not shy about spending money, who tried to raise a graduated income tax just 2 years ago, and a Republican populist who talks a little bit about cutting taxes, but does all kinds of stuff on the social side that doesn't play very well.
I mean, in a lot of ways, and we've had this conversation on the show in other guises recently, this is an old story in Illinois Republican politics, right? Suburban moderates versus downstate people closer to the right wing of the party. Do you think one side has decisively won that fight?
It sure began to look that way, pending results of the outcome this fall, Brian. There were two other elections in which there were challenges from the political right, from the populist right, that the business committee was a little queasy about. One is when Jeannie Ives took on Bruce Rauner 4 years ago in the Republican primary and almost beat him, but she didn't beat him. Then a couple elections before then, Bill Brady, state senator from downstate, was a Republican candidate. He was a pretty conservative fella, but he got along well with the business community. He was a builder by trade. Darren Bailey, I think, is something new to the Republican business establishment up here. They don't know him. They haven't supported him. He's far too histrionic on some of the hot button issues for their taste, abortion, guns, stuff like that. Let's see what happens in November. If he gets blown out, Bailey gets blown out, and the pieces are there for somebody to put the party back together again in a different way, maybe they will. But at the moment, I think most of the business establishment in the state is probably just going to kind of sit and watch. I don't expect huge support right now for Mr. Bailey.
Interesting. Well, let's go back to, I mentioned Ken Griffin. I don't know if I mentioned him by name, but he is the billionaire, I guess we now say former Illinois resident, since he's reportedly relocated, but the formerly the richest man in Illinois who went all in backing Aurora Mayor Richard Irvin. You had a fascinating story recently on this meeting between Governor Pritzker and Ken Griffin. Can you set the scene for us?
Yeah, the scene is that here you got the two richest guys of the state, or two of the richest guys. I don't think Pritzker's number two. He's only number three or four. Who had an opportunity early on to kind of work things out. Right after Pritzker was elected, he got a call from Griffin, who had given a lot of money to Bruce Rauner, but hadn't fatally committed himself. And exactly what happened there depends on who you talk to, but there's no question that they got together. They had breakfast at a Loop Hotel down here. I'm not sure who picked up the tab. And there was discussion about, gee, JB, can you govern from the center, particularly on pensions? and Pritzker pushed back. But in the course of that, Griffin seemed to drop some hints that if Pritzker would be a little bit of a moderate, that he, Griffin, might see his way to kind of give some political cover of sorts to Governor Pritzker. He'd give him support if Pritzker tried to make some change. And implicit in that, and I think it was actually explicit in the meeting, was that he understood that Pritzker would need some more money, tax increase, and that he, Griffin, might be prepared to support that. You know, if the two of them had worked out something then, my, would things be different now? But they didn't. Pritzker's gone off in one direction. We haven't reformed our pension system. It still takes up, 20 to 25% of general fund expenditures out of the legislature. And Mr. Griffin and his company are now residents of Florida.
I guess this is the point where I need to say full disclosure. As an employee, my home radio station is part of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Therefore, I am a member of the state university retirement system. So listeners can take that for what they will. But is this it? Is pensions still the thing that drives so many of the big business people with state government? Because I mean, there have been several attempts in the past decade to really go at this problem, and the courts have repeatedly turned thumbs down on it. Governor Pritzker campaigned as a big pro-union guy. It seems to me like that was not maybe a something that would even be a sensible thing to expect him to do, is to turn his back on that. But what do you make of this?
Well, what Griffin particularly wanted, either at the meeting or stuff surrounding the meeting, was for the governor to consider putting the decision to voters, essentially, authorizing, getting behind a proposed constitutional amendment to reopen the pension clause so that we could offer less generous benefits, particularly, I think the number one item on everybody's list is the 3% compound COLA that people have enjoyed for the last 20 years, even though inflation has been 1 or 2%. People not only have been held even on inflation, they've been actually getting a raise every year. And if this is a rich state and we had plenty of money, great. But the problem is that money's had to come from somewhere, and where it's had to come from is it hasn't gone to schools, for instance, or hasn't gone to law enforcement, or hasn't gone to healthcare. On top of that, there's the constant concern about tax increases. There were a bunch of quote unquote loopholes that were closed a year ago on the business side, several hundred million dollars. And the business guys say they weren't loopholes. The Democrats say, yes, they were. Interestingly, on the head of the list of the Illinois State Chamber of Commerce on their agenda for what they'd like to see happen this fall and early next year is no new tax hikes. I think they're particularly looking at what happened with the unemployment trust fund, which ran up huge bills during the COVID pandemic. The state paid down some of those bills by using COVID relief funds, but not all of them. So there's still $1.5 billion there. And business folks are worried that that the state's going to come in and raise their taxes, which is how you raise the money. Usually when you have a debt and you have to pay it off, you cut the benefits and raise the taxes. They don't want that to happen. So that's kind of the backdrop on all this, Brian. It's one of the reasons, it's certainly not the only reason, but it's one of the reasons why the state continues to attrit jobs and businesses. You know, it's been very consistent now for 3 or 4 decades that we're not keeping up with the rest of the country. Lately, we've been a little bit worse than most of the rest of the country. Is taxes all of it? No, but it's part of it.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Greg Hines, who's a political columnist at Crane's Chicago Business. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. That's 800-222-9455. Well, you mentioned there the Illinois Chamber of Commerce agenda for 2022 having to do with tax increases, a lot of which relates to the unemployment insurance situation. Illinois had a lot of fraud in that, as did many other states, I guess, to be fair. What else is the chamber looking for this year and beyond?
Well, they'd like a pension amendment. That's just not going to happen. it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, and maybe we should just, in case listeners have not read recently, Article 8, Section 5 of the Illinois Constitution, it says, membership in any pension or retirement system of the state, any unit of local government or school district, or any agency or instrumentality thereof, shall be an enforceable contractual relationship, the benefits of which shall not be diminished or impaired. And that's the key there, right? Shall not be diminished or impaired. The courts have ruled even that 3%, not really a cost of living adjustment, an automatic increase for people after they retire. Every year it goes up by 3%, that even reducing that would be a diminishment or an impairment. So that's what people are, at least on the some in the Republican side of things, want to target.
Well, it's not only some on the Republican side. Some of the big civic groups up here, the Civic Federation, for instance, which has been pretty much of a straight shooter down the middle, they've advocated for tax increases and doing some fiscal stuff the Republicans don't like. They've said, hey, there's enough merit to putting the amendment up to at least let the people decide. It's not going to happen. The Pritzker people suggest that because we now have different ways we treat people for pension purposes based on when they were hired. Everybody's hired after January 1st of 2011, gets a much reduced pension benefit. They say that the situation eventually will self-correct itself, and they're right. And eventually everybody in the old system will die off. But in the meantime, we have these huge bills that are front and center, $133 billion in unfunded liability. And it's not so much the fact we have to pay it, it's that we have to, the money that goes there doesn't go someplace else.
I think that crowding out is the term I've heard used for that. Right.
Yeah, I think that's what people are generally concerned about. I mean, anybody's got kids in public school or hires kids from public school, they know what their property taxes are. They keep going up every year. One of the reasons for that is just not enough state aid. Why? Because the state money's going into pensions.
All right. You mentioned this earlier that three big companies have announced they're moving their corporate headquarters out of Illinois: Boeing, Caterpillar, and now Citadel, which is Ken Griffin's big finance company. Is this something that everyday people should be worried about in looking at the business landscape here? I mean, it's a relatively small number of jobs. Caterpillar still has a lot of people in Peoria. It made a point of saying how Illinois is still going to be the sort of nexus of their operations, and or at least their biggest state in terms of the number of employees. Boeing was, you know, just stayed a couple nights over the past couple of decades. How worried should people be about this?
Well, it's not good news. Let's start with there. And the question is how bad news it is. There were special circumstances surrounding each of these. As you pointed out, Boeing wasn't here very long. They moved here for a specific reason at a time when they wanted to have a management of the company in a different place than their factories. Now they have a new imperative. They want to cozy up to the federal government, which provides all the money for the defense business. That means moving to Washington. So I could kind of write that off as, you know, we're glad to have them for a while. No friggin' big deal. I can write off the Citadel thing is personal. It has more to do, I think, with what Ken Griffin personally wanted to do and with the security situation up in Chicago, the crime problem, which he's talked an awful lot about. I find Caterpillar troublesome, though. If
that one does hurt, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. If this state has a claim to fame in the corporate world, if there's a reason to, hey, you've got to be here, this is where the action is, it's in the agribusiness field. I mean, that's what put the state on the map. And they have one of the seminal companies in the state just summarily say, you know, we don't like it there anymore. We're going to move to Texas. That ought to trouble people. And while the number of jobs initially isn't very great, when the headquarters moves, eventually a lot of the production facilities tend to move. The research staff moves, the lawyers, the accountants, all the outside firms that support the headquarters, they move, and they're now down in Dallas, or they're going to be down in Dallas. That one troubles me, and I'm not so sure that there's been a unified response back from state government to say, hey, no more, we're going to get to the bottom of that, we're going to stop it. You know, and instead it's kind of, a shrug that, well, we're doing okay. We're doing wonderful. Well, we're doing better than we were, but we're still lagging the nation in our recovery from the pandemic. That's just a fact.
Just a couple of minutes remaining. Is there just sort of a fundamental incompatibility with an increasingly progressive democratic state government and what some of these big corporations want to see out of a state government?
Well, yes and no. I'll give you a reason to think that's true and a reason to think it's not true. In calling around about this stuff and talking to some people in the corporate world, I was told that, frankly, the big corporate guys feel more comfortable now hobnobbing with the governor of Florida or the governor of Texas. And they're just kind of on the same wavelength emotionally and philosophically and whatever, that they're conservatives, the states are conservative, the governors are conservative. So, I can have a drink with good old Charlie in a way that I can't with J.B. Pritzker.
Not their kind of billionaire, I guess. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, billionaire, but a billionaire on a mission. In this case, it increasingly looks like that mission to run for 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Well, that's a whole other conversation. All right, just about 30 seconds left. But your other reason, yes.
on the other hand, each of these companies got a pull in talent. And if you look at what's happened, particularly in the abortion space, and some of the ancillary things that might come, gay marriage, use of birth control, whatever. I think increasingly, particularly among women employees, but not among all of them, I think they may potentially have some problems down in Dallas or down in Miami. It luring people if women think that, hey, if I get pregnant, my goodness, the laws in this state treat me like chattel. There's nothing I'll be able to do about it. I think that's worth watching too.
Yeah,
so to some extent, maybe it counterbalances.
As Caterpillar is heading to Texas, that's a great point. All right, Greg Hines is political columnist at Crane's Chicago Business. Greg, always great to talk with you. Thanks for making time to be with us on the 21st show.
Anytime, Brian.
More to come after a short break. Stay with us.